Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Experience Our Industry podcast. I am Dr. Brian Greenwood, and I am super excited to be here today with Ari Ossie. How are you, Ari?
I'm good. How are you?
I am so good, and I hope I didn't butcher your last name. I've always said it Ossie, like French. It's probably not. That's probably not right, is it?
Proper way. Family in Iowa.
That's not how your family in Iowa says it. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's awesome. How does your family in Iowa say it?
Osier.
Osier. Yep. How does your family in California say it?
Osier.
Osier too. Okay. okay. Cool. But it is French, so it should be Ossie. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, you probably heard me tell the story that I was so disappointed when they moved to the big field and read off everyone's name for graduation, because I used to get to do it for our major. And so every student that went by, I got to see their phonetic name, right? And so I would remember that. And then I get on the podcast and I do like things like, okay, I'm going to check with you on your title and your graduation date. And then right before I say everyone's name, I'm like, oh no, I didn't get the phonetics on their name. You know, you would think I would learn over time, Ari. I'm sorry.
You're good.
All right. Well, I'm super excited, like I said, to be talking to you. Ari and I got to be pretty tight when she was here at Cal Poly. We had a research study together, and she's just been, you know, she was one of our bright and shining stars when she was here at Cal Poly. And so it was really fun to get to know her. And I've been watching her career since she left. And so it's really exciting to see what she's doing now. She's a 2020 graduate of our program who currently serves as Associate Director of Equipment for UC Davis Athletics. So the Aggies up there in Davis are, I'll say our rival, not our arch rival. I guess arch rival would be Santa Barbara, right, Ari?
Yeah, same. Yeah. You're like our kind of rival, but Sac State.
That's your arch rival, right. So yeah, it's like Cal Poly and Davis are more like spirited, almost like mutually respectful rivals, right? Is that what you would say? Okay, cool. I like it. So Ari, let's talk a little bit about growing up. Let's start there with growing up. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California, in Glendora, in the San Gabriel Valley. My parents still live there. Beautiful place to grow up.
I bet. So I'm not really familiar with that area, but I'm imagining it being pretty beautiful. What did your parents do when you were growing up, or what do they still do?
Yeah, so my mom is a cosmetologist. She still practices cosmetology, but she also got her teaching credentials, so now she teaches at Citrus College, which is in. And then my dad is a self-employed dairy distributor, and now still does that too.
Nice, very cool. Well, I love that. And I would imagine with a mom who teaches cosmetology, I imagine you get lots of perks growing up.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun colors in my hair growing up.
You did? I bet you did. That's fun. What about brothers and any siblings?
I have one younger brother.
Yeah.
He's 2 years younger than me. He works in Southern California, direct-to-consumer sales for Ping and Callaway.
Oh. No way.
Yeah.
Sweet. So my address is 2. I don't know if you heard, but I became a golf addict during the pandemic. And so were you still around when I started playing golf?
No, but that's a good addiction to have, I think.
Yeah. I got sick of walking around the neighborhood, Ari. I, you know, it was like, okay, I can only walk around this neighborhood one more time, you know? Yeah. I told Dr. Rue, I was like, do you think golf courses are open? And she was like, I don't know. Why don't you go see and get out of my hair. The rest is miserable, as we golfers say. Tell me what young Ari was like growing up. What was your jam? What did you get into?
I loved books, loved reading. So I was often at the library. I played soccer until I was graduating high school, travel soccer from the time I was 11 until 18.
Nice.
Very involved in student council and did all the like rallies and assemblies as the head person for that stuff. I was so super involved in high school. I always just wanted to be around lots of people.
Yeah. I love that. When I think about you and what I know of you, I know how super smart you are. But then I also know, obviously, that you're into athletics and you're into sports and that sort of thing. And so that explains it a little bit, that you were super into books too, right? So you not only were you did you have a sports bug, but you also became very smart by getting into books. That's a huge thing for sure. So when you think about your time pre-Cal Poly, I call this our glory days segment. You get to do a little bit of bragging on during your glory days. What was your proudest moment before you came to Cal Poly?
So my senior year of high school, I was the director of assemblies, which is basically like a rally, but ours were more like theater performance also.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of moving parts. And in December, our director had to step away for a little bit, but we had an assembly. So we didn't reschedule it. And I did that from start to finish on my own. So that was really cool to just feel accomplished and proud of the work that we put in.
Yeah, right on. That is so awesome. I'm just more and more impressed with California high schools when I hear and see the things that kids get to do, right? And young, I should say young adults get to do. And you get, they give you a lot of responsibility at a lot of high schools. And so that's really, really cool. That is something to very much to be proud of. Tell us about your Cal Poly experience. How did you hear about Cal Poly? How'd you hear about the major? What's that story like?
So I'm a first-generation college student. There was really no guidance or understanding of the college process by both my parents. So they really left it up to me to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And had a soccer tournament in the summer going into senior year of high school up in Northern California. So I asked my mom if we could extend the trip and stop at various colleges because I had no idea what I wanted in college.
Yeah.
Cal Poly was the first place we went to.
Yeah.
And we went on a tour, and I just fell in love with it right away, as you do when you step on the campus there.
Yeah.
And then we went all the way up to Humboldt and back, and Cal Poly just kept sticking with me. So when I was applying to Cal Poly, I didn't know that you had to declare your major going into it.
Right.
So I get to that part of the application, and I was like, oh, shoot, no idea.
Right.
So, then I went through all the majors and opened tabs for every single one that I was slightly interested in.
Yeah.
And then ended up what at the time was Recreation, Parks, and Tourism Administration.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. Why? Okay, this is simple. They have what I want to do. Right. And I didn't know that was a real thing, that you could major in that. And then the rest is history, I guess.
I love it. Yeah. Well, we have a similar story there. I had no idea you could major in this either. But I was 25. You were a little younger when you found out. So that's awesome. Well, you know, and I love you sharing also about being first gen. And I think that's one of the things that's so important to point out too, is that, you know, when you are first gen, you do have to kind of figure it out on your own, because you know, you don't have someone at home that went through the process. And, you know, I think that speaks a lot to for your what I know of you and the responsibility, like you said, in being a director there and being able to take charge, right? Like, that's a huge skill or a huge element of moving forward in life and you know, going off to college, is already having that wherewithal to be able to, you know, take the bull by the horn, so to speak. And so that's awesome to hear. Now, once you got to Cal Poly, Ari, I know how involved you got, but tell others like what that process was like, right? I mean, it's easy to be able to look back, right? And for me to look back and say, wow, Ari was super involved and, you know, she was on a research project with me and she did all these other things. But, you know, I think for some of our listeners who are maybe like just getting started in the major, they don't really know what that looks like or how that process starts. How did it start for you?
So obviously I had my identity crisis leaving high school. I knew I needed something to be my purpose when I got to college.
Right.
So feverishly looking on Handshake in the summer, almost like religiously every single day.
Yeah.
In July, hosting popped up to be ball crew at the football games.
Oh.
And I worked in football in high school as like a stat girl. So we did like filming and water, nothing super serious. But knew that I liked being around that environment.
Yeah.
So I applied to that position, interviewed before school started, worked two games before school started, and was like hooked right away. From there, the first RPTA class, the athletic director, deputy athletic director at the time, came in and he spoke to us. And I was like, okay, how can I get more involved? Because I was just trying to feed that crave for being super involved. So I met with him and then he said, well, you should get connected with my boss at the time. And I said, I already know him. I already work for him. And he said, oh, perfect. Then you should just work more for him. So then I just worked more for him.
Nice.
That's kind of how I got involved in the equipment room down there.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of other things too, because I knew I wanted to work in sports, but I wanted to figure out where in sports.
Yeah.
So I did the sport marketing internship for 2 years with the athletic department. That was a great experience. And then I also worked for Helmets for Helmets, a nonprofit organization, which was, that's a lovely experience.
Yeah. They're one of
my favorite families ever still.
Yeah.
And I also did the research project with you, worked for housing for a little bit, doing tours, just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, I love it. And just really, you know, tell me if I'm right about this, Ari, was it a type thing where you felt like you were almost like checking stuff off? Like, okay, I've got experience. I gained experience here, but this is not necessarily what I want to do.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was just trying to feed every single element I could that I knew I potentially would be interested in.
Yeah.
And then taking off like, yeah, no, this is not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love you giving me a Helmets for Helmets shout out. Helmets for Helmets, is, a nonprofit started by, Brock and Bryson Thompson, and the Thompson family. They were supported by Jack's Helping Hand here in the area. And, the two boys, their mom and dad were obviously, and mom especially, were very instrumental in getting this organization going, and got like national news on like The View and NFL Network and all kinds of things. And so, yeah, really a really great partnership that we had with them when they were in town. They're no longer in town, so we don't have it actively going with them, but if our listeners want to support it, it's a really, really great organization. Now remind me, is it Bryson, right? I think it's Bryson, right, that has a form of epilepsy where you need to wear a helmet, right? And so, and these helmets are like super, super expensive. And so Bryson and Brock said to their mom, we want to start a company, that a nonprofit that helps give other kids helmets. Jack's Helping Hand here in town helped them initially with it. And it just like exploded because everyone really wanted to support this amazing effort. And Ari was instrumental in helping with them, and I just pulled it up. They're still doing amazing, and so if you want to support them or want to hear more about them, feel free to pop on the internet and do that. And it's helmets4helmets.com. So Ari, let's talk about that interest in equipment and that burgeoning interest in equipment, right? And I know that's ultimately where you did your internship, if I'm not mistaken, right? Was with Cal Poly Athletics and equipment. And so tell us what drew you in and what has kept you interested in equipment, and tell us that.
I feel like that's one of the hardest questions to answer. Every time I get that question, I can't explain it besides I just love it.
Yeah.
There's no true pinpoint of a time or a place.
Right.
I just know that by my junior year of college, I was traveling with a football team, and the first game that I ever traveled to, we went to North Dakota State. And if you're an FCS football fan, then you know that North Dakota State was the powerhouse at the time. They had won 7 national championships at the time, back-to-back 5. So I got there and I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I think the more I just was in the equipment room, the more I knew that that's the place for me.
Yeah.
Turned into like I was spending every single waking hour outside of class in the equipment room because I just wanted to be there and help. And seeing the growth of Cal Poly Equipment was really exciting too. They're in a really special place right now, growing in very rapidly. So being a part of that growth was really awesome. I can't explain the love for it because it's not an easy job. But just something about seeing someone who steps on campus as a freshman and you get to see them their entire career as a student athlete to every single year watching their growth on and off the field, the court, the grass, the pitch, whatever it may be. And then being a part of that process and making them smile has just been really awesome, and that's something that keeps me going.
I love it. You know, I had never really thought about that, Ari. Like, I thought you were going to just say something about the fit and, you know, like, you know, you look at games differently once you become an equipment maestro. And, you know, I think about, like, I have a group of college guys who I was I wasn't that close with all of them. A lot of them were actually older than me, but I got connected through this email list, and a couple of them are like super into the fit, right? Like, so we'll be watching, you know, we'll be watching, we're not really watching it together, right? But we're all texting, and they're like, oh my God, look at how awful these uniforms are, or look how awful there. That's how we talk about refs and we talk about equipment, and it's like so much fun. And so I sent, my son Max is now playing club baseball, and I sent them the first weekend. I was like, well, I'm pretty sure we're the worst or the second to worst team here, but our fit is way, way better than anybody else. And I like sent some pictures, and they were like, oh my God, yeah, like night and day better. You know, it's really funny. But do you watch games differently? Like, do you see?
Yeah, it's actually probably infuriating for people watching games with me.
Yeah.
my biggest pet peeve is the way Patrick Mahomes' helmet fits him.
Mm.
It sits so high on his head. And I just know that the equipment staff has probably said to him multiple times, like, can we fix this? But it must just be a preference thing. It bothers me every single time I watch the Chiefs play.
I believe it. I believe it. That is wild. I love that. That's so great. That is so great. Well, let's talk about post Cal Poly. So obviously you were one of the global pandemic graduation folks, and I know that must have been a really scary time, and I remember just, you know, having so much empathy for you all, and but you made the best of it, and you decided to go straight to graduate school, if I'm not mistaken, is that right?
Yeah, I went straight to grad school after. Before the pandemic hit, I had a graduate assistantship lined up at Illinois State University. Thankfully, that still went into fruition. So I moved, actually graduated mid-June from Cal Poly and moved from Slough straight to beautiful middle of nowhere, normal Illinois.
She doesn't mean like normal Illinois, like it's just a normal place. That's the name of
it. Which everyone thought is just so ironic.
Yeah.
Moved there June 30th.
Wow. What was that like? Did you make your new home the equipment room, or did you make it the library? Which one, or a combination of the two?
It was a really interesting time because no one knew what athletics was going to be like that fall.
Yeah.
So I was going to work not knowing if we were going to play football in the fall. My main responsibility in the equipment room was football. But in the off season, I moved to field house and did work with gymnastics, track and field, softball, baseball, and women's soccer. Yeah.
That's a big change.
It was a big change, but I learned a lot, which was really helpful. So not knowing what we were going to do in the summer. And then obviously FCS football got moved to the winter that year. So as a California girl, we were practicing in January, February, in negative 20 degree wind chill.
I was like, wind chill is probably, it was probably like 20, but the wind chill was minus 20, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Plenty of practices with full blizzard, snow on the ground. We didn't have an indoor facility at the time.
Oh, no.
So everything outside.
They didn't have the money that North Dakota State had. Like North Dakota State's got that oil money, so I'm sure they have a indoor heated place.
Yeah, they have a bubble now, but not when I was there.
Oh, they do. They have a bubble now.
Yeah, they did.
Oh wow, they somebody got film of you out there shivering, and they're like, "We need a bubble."
But it was a really interesting experience, just navigating pandemic during the time while I was there. And obviously everyone still wanted sports to keep going. And we were kind of in that cycle of you test every day, you go to work, you wear a mask, you figure it out, and you still try to play some football. So I learned some interesting things with cleaning. We had masks actually on the inside of our face masks at the time. So we had to be masked outdoors during practice, even because of how long practice is. But I feel like being there during that time made me grow so much as an individual.
Yeah,
because I had to just do everything on my own. Grad school was all online the first year. So making friends was hard because we were all working in athletic department together. Everyone in my program was either a graduate assistant at Illinois State or Illinois Wesleyan, which is a D3 school there, or the community college in town. So we all worked in athletics in some regard.
Right.
But all couldn't connect with each other besides virtually. So then once that kind of changed the next year, the networking just grew exponentially. And I have a great working relationship with most of the people I went to grad school with.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And I guess you probably were almost brought together that next year. Was it like you were making up for lost time, like an even tighter cohort, so to speak?
Yeah, I don't think we spent like a single day away from each other once we were allowed to hang out with each other.
Right.
No one wanted to be the reason we stopped playing sports. So no one wanted to interact outside of things that weren't are within the realms of what we were supposed to do, because we didn't want to be the reason why we don't play a football game or a basketball game.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's really cool to hear about what that was like and whatnot. So tell us about graduate school. What was and finishing? Did you have a thesis? Did you have a project option? What was the options there?
So I did a thesis on equipment, kind of just on the role of equipment in and how it's growing in the industry. I also taught a sports law class while I was in grad school.
Did you really? Wow. Yeah,
that was really fun.
We have that in common. I didn't, were you a TA or were you a full-blown, you had the class?
I was a TA, but I taught like probably half the class.
Well, similar. That's what I did that in graduate school too. That's awesome. What was that experience like?
That was awesome. That was a great experience. Because I have always thought about, maybe I'll go into teaching one day.
Uh-huh.
So getting my toes wet in that area was interesting. And also just being in front of basically essentially my peers, some of the individuals in the class were members of the football team or people I worked with.
Right.
So it was interesting also to get their perspective. It felt like it was teaching, but also the same.
Right. Right. I love it. That's awesome. I did not know you did that. That is really cool. So let's talk about that. You said you did some great networking. So you ended up landing at UC Davis, as I mentioned earlier, as Associate Director of Equipment. So how did you get that position? Tell us about that process and how you ended up landing back in California after going away for a little spell.
Knowing you want to work in equipment and knowing you want to work in equipment at this level, there's not very many opportunities at this level.
Yeah.
Most schools have 1 to 4 people in the equipment room. So applying for jobs was very difficult because I had a very specific want for what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to still be involved in football, but that didn't need to be my only responsibility.
Right.
So I knew that this job was going to open before it actually got posted. Small community of people.
Yeah.
That people talk a lot. And one of our administrators at Illinois State had been the interim athletic director here. So I walked into her office and I said, you know how I said I wanted to work in football? Well, it's going to open, so you got to help me get the job. She wanted me to work in Utah, but I was going to have no experience with the football team there.
Right.
So I I know you have that connection, but that's not what. And she ended up being really pivotal in allowing me this opportunity to get this job.
Right.
I moved from Illinois with no job. I moved home, kind of, sort of. Mm-hmm. I had all my stuff in my car, drove to the equipment convention that was in Las Vegas with all my stuff in my car, and I interviewed for this job at convention.
Yeah.
And was offered the job at convention. So then I just moved here.
Nice. That's awesome. No way. So you were headed home with all your stuff in the car, and then you just said, oh, well, I'm going to Davis?
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, knowing how Las Vegas is, it's lucky that somebody didn't steal all the stuff in your car.
I agree. I was very worried about that. And I had a dog. I have a dachshund chihuahua, so she was with me. And she's just hanging out upstairs in the hotel room while I'm trying to find a job.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. I love it. Well, so let's talk about that job. And we've talked about it a little bit already, but I sort of sidetracked on what you said earlier about the building relationships with the athletes and getting to see their progress. And that just shows I think what a genuine person you are. You know, one of the things that I really admired about you, in addition to you just being an exceptionally good student and exceptionally responsible, young leader on campus, you can just tell that you're a genuine person, that you care about people and you care about getting to know people and watching them progress. And so that's really cool to hear you say that and to hear you. You know, I think most people who think about someone in equipment wouldn't think about that element. And so I love that you voiced that. Let's talk about day to day. I know one of the things that maybe is pretty exciting about a lot of areas within the experience industry and within sport management is that no day is the same, right? But if you had to break it down, let's say in season, so in the fall, like football season, what's your day to day like?
So practice, whether it's Monday or Friday, going out for practice, I have to with my students and my intern, essentially run practice in a way that the coaches don't have to worry about anything but coaching football.
Yeah.
So we're there with the balls, we're there setting up the drills. We keep everything moving and on time. Once practice wraps up, it's about probably 11 a.m., I move on to the road game. We're packing our truck, making sure that we have all the gear that we need for when we get to Missoula, Montana, or wherever we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll move on to laundry. The laundry is probably three quarters of my day during football season.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Whether I'm packing laundry to take it with us on the road or I'm doing laundry.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest heavy hitter. And then also during football season, we'll be reordering all the gear for next year. So Adidas booking orders happen in October, November time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're ordering everything for the next upcoming year during that time. So I'll probably be doing that during that time. And it's just kind of managing the logistics of keeping this going. I'm also responsible for field hockey, lacrosse, men's and women's water polo, and swim and dive. So figuring out what their schedule is and mixing that all into it. Probably packing for field hockey too, because they play most of the games on the East Coast.
Right.
And then there's just like the regular figuring out budgeting and invoicing.
Yeah.
And what we're going to put on this year's pregame t-shirt and all those fun details.
Right. It's a good thing that we're on an audio podcast, right? Because no one can see me like holding my head and going, like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm an old football coach, you know, I used to coach football at high school level. And, you know, I think about, I was really, really low on the totem pole. So I did a lot of the things that you just said that you do, right? To make sure that practice and games and all that are running smoothly. And that's just like a never ending list. And then for you to just like name off, oh yeah, I also oversee men's and women's water polo, men's and women's swim and dive, women's water field hockey, women's, I don't know how you do it. But actually I'll say that I do know how you do it because you're way more organized than I am. You're way better at communicating, you're all of those things. So is that what it is? You just have to be super organized.
Yeah, you really get into a groove too. So it's organized, but you have to be flexible because everything in sports is ever changing. So you might think that field hockey is going out to practice at 10 a.m., but then something happens, so they change, and now it's 12 p.m. So it's trying to figure out how can we minimize the time the washing machine is not going as much as possible. Because if there's nothing in the wash, then you're wasting time.
You're right.
So figuring out that and me and my intern kind of have like a major spreadsheet, Google
spreadsheet
that has every single color imaginable.
Yeah.
Various events, because the more organized and the more flexible you are, the smoother it will be.
I bet.
And having good relationships with my coaches really helps, because I think if you don't put yourself out there in equipment, it's easy to be the person that just works in the shop.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily know every detail that goes on to keeping their job flying and us keeping other sports going. So I try to put myself in front of them as much as possible. So mm-hmm. I am one of the first people they think of when they change their schedule.
Yeah. So
we can adjust and we can all stay on task and I can go home and it's not 1 a.m.
Yes, right. I was going to say, I hope you're not living in the equipment room there in Davis. I hope you unloaded that car eventually.
Eventually, it took a while.
Yeah, I bet. So let's talk about a couple of things, Ari. I know how smart and intelligent you are. I know how you likely keep up with these things. So I want to ask you, you know, I went to what's called Tiger Fest a couple days ago with my 13-year-old, almost 14-year-old son, who will be a freshman in high school. And one of the things I was most worried about was the football coaches seeing him, because he's one of the biggest rising freshmen. He grew about 5 inches and is towering above dear old dad right now at almost 14, Ari. And so I know, being a former football coach, I know how football coaches think. And of course, he got on the list. And but it does worry me. I mean, I know that I had numerous concussions as a football player, and I feel like I got lucky. I mean, we'll see. Maybe in my 60s, you know, maybe that'll come back to haunt me. I don't know, but it just scares me as a dad, right? And so I want to ask you, as someone that is versed on the equipment and knows, you know, what's ahead, do you see a time where we'll have less because of the equipment? Do you think the equipment will get better, where we'll be able to protect more against head trauma in football in particular?
Yeah, I actually think it's more important to have someone who knows how to fit the equipment and what the equipment can do. Because your helmet is only as good as the way it fits you.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't actually, we're at a really good place where the things on the market are really good at doing what they're intended to do, mm-hmm. but they have to fit the individual correctly.
Mm.
Which is why, at least for me, I make sure that I spend 30 minutes to an hour with each person once they get here, making sure I know their injury history, making sure I know things that they've worn in the past, what they've liked about those things, what they didn't like about those things. And then I kind of take what I know and my expertise and what they've, their experience, to give them the best fitting helmet possible.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it might not be what they think is the coolest looking helmet, but safety is more important.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think it's really important that you maintain the equipment, which is why during season, especially, I check helmets at least once a week, probably twice a week by the time we get to the field. For games, I'm looking at it again. So yeah, twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And replacing all those things that people don't think about that
mm-hmm.
over time would affect the efficacy of the helmet.
Got you. That makes me feel so much better, but I'm going to need you to, do you think you would be consider coming to Slow High School? Yeah. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll drive up to Davis. If he does end up in football, I'll drive to Davis with his football helmet and be like, okay, Ari, fit this for him. But yeah, so I appreciate that perspective. I think that's really awesome. Now, a couple of things that I'll ask. If you were, how do you advise sport management students, right? I know you have interns. You said you have interns, and what kind of mentorship do you give to them in terms of equipment? Or do you find that most of them are just working in equipment to get their foot in the door for sport management? What is it like there?
I would say most people here, like my students, are here because they want to work in athletics, but don't know what part of athletics they want to work in. Some have fallen in love with some of the things that we do in equipment, but aren't for the hours or the time that it takes in season. Because mm-hmm. right now I'm living my best life. We're out of season for most sports, only lacrosse is in. So I'm very, very chill. This is when I get to go explore and enjoy the sunshine.
Nice.
And when I bank my hours of relaxation.
Nice.
But they see me in season and they're like, that's just not what I want to do with my life. So I think what I always try to tell them is what I wish someone would have told me, is that it's okay to not know what you want to do, but to spend the time to try to find what you actually enjoy doing. I try to connect them with other individuals. They often ask me, you know, who's that individual? And then they'll say, well, that's our diversity, equity, and inclusion officer. And they'll ask me what they do. So then they're like, oh, can I meet with them? I'm interested in that. I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go. Mm. Like, set up an interview.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to let them figure out what they want, but also put them in places where they have the opportunity to ask questions and meet individuals that help them learn about what they want to do.
Love it. That's awesome. That's the mentor in you. And I love hearing that. Now, what about travel? Do you what is the travel like? Do you have to drive? I assume you travel with the team, right? You said you're loading up the truck, so you don't have to drive the truck too. You don't have your C license, do you? Okay, no truck driving. All right, you get to ride on the plane.
Yeah, most trips we have to travel on a plane. We charter our flights, so it's just us on the plane. So I'm actually responsible for the logistics of moving all the things, not the people, but all the things to where we need to go. So the underbelly of the plane is kind of my expertise. We're on the tarmac, we're loading the gear, we're doing all that. We land wherever we're going to go. And then we put it all in the truck. Our truck driver meets us there. He's the light of my life. Keeps us going really well. Is probably one of the coolest things that I get to do in my job, because I go to places I would never go to on my own, and see things that I would never see. So then we get the truck moving, we go straight to the field, start setting up the locker room. We do all those things so that, like I said, the only thing I want the student athletes to worry about is playing football. And the only thing the coaches should have to worry about is coaching football. So I try to take care of all the thought process in between. Just like tying your shoes or where are my socks or all those things. Mm-hmm. And then the game ends, win or loss, my job stays the same. We have to take everything that we brought in and pack it all out within an hour, and then get it back on the plane. And then we're at home. And once we get home, we start laundry.
Yeah, I got you. Well, I know that most people probably, you won't see this written about in the newspapers, or, you know, when they're doing the preview of the game. But I think if Cal Poly ever wants to get that horseshoe back, they're going to have to get Ari back here to Cal Poly for that secret weapon. Because I just love that. And I imagine when I think about forming a team, I would definitely want you on that team. And just can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk to us today, and so proud of you, and so excited for you. And please, next time you come for a game, please give me a holler, and I'll come and buy you a coffee in between laundry loads. How's that?
Thank you. Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time today. Appreciate it. All right. See ya.